Thank you to the praise band. We are blessed, yeah? We are blessed. Thank you, guys. You know, I trust, like me, you've been blessed over the last number of months with the teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, yeah? It's been powerful stuff. It's been tough stuff. It's been tough to preach. It's tough to adhere to. It's tough to obey. But we have to remember that what we've been going through in the Sermon on the Mount is the words of Christ, and that has to be taken seriously. And as Pastor Debbie finished chapter 6 last week, we are now progressing into chapter 7. And the first area that Christ tackles in first verse 1 in chapter 7 is a tough one. It is a very tough one, and it's tough because of a few reasons. One, it affects us all. Two, it is probably the verses within this scripture that we're going to focus on today, some of the most well-known scriptures that there is. They are quoted by those inside the church, outside the church, those who are saved, those who are not saved, but also some of the most misinterpreted and abused scriptures also. And what I want to do this morning is try and break it down in order to try and understand it a little bit better, try and apply it in our lives the way Christ intended it to be as he preached on that hillside. So we're going to read God's word this morning. We're going to start at chapter 7 in Matthew. And we're going to start at verse 1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, and then you will clearly see to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give the dogs which is sacred, and do not throw your pearls to the pigs. If you do, they may trample them under feet and tear you to pieces. May God bless the public reading of his word. You see, as Christ preaches on that hillside to the Pharisees, the main religious kind of influence at the time of Christ's ministry, we clearly see that by what Christ says, these people are living their life in a certain way, very similar to the way many people live their life today. They were proud people, but the Beatitudes have taught us to be humble. They kind of denied the word of God to such. What they did was they kind of layered on their own laws. They misinterpreted the law of Moses. They layered their own laws in, thinking it was acceptable to God, and it wasn't. And many of us today layer things into our Christian life, which we believe is acceptable to God, and it's not. And what God says is, focus on my word and my word alone. They believed in external morality. Christ preaches internal morality, the heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Our heart has to be right. All their focus was external. The praying, the serving, the fasting, the giving, all hypocritical and superficial. Christ says, get the heart right before we do that. They were involved in the wrong relationships. Many people today are involved in the wrong relationships and do not understand the chaos that that can cause in somebody's life. They were focused on money and possessions. Christ says, focus on my kingdom. So on that hillside, authority is given. The one true, only religion way to obey is from God. And this scripture we focus on today, we've now flipped into chapter 7. Human relations is right at the heart of it. Many people today, like the Pharisees inside and outside the church, were proud, self-righteous, thinking that they were superior. And from this came the result. Like this scripture says, they were condemning and judgmental of everybody, out with their little group. Do you know anybody like that? You see, when we live in our own little bubble of morality, and we are the main man, the main woman, we are the judge and jury of everything based in the standard that we set, like the Pharisees today, and many people today, it is evidence that we live amongst people who are extremely judgmental of others. They condemn, they criticize, which is dangerous because it leads to being unforgiving. It leads to being unkind. It leads to judging, discerning, evaluating in the wrong way. And we're going to talk about that. And it also leads to a lack of mercy and grace on everyone or most people who do not come up tip-top to your created standard, which incidentally is not God's standard, it's a human standard. You see, it's all down to judgmentalism. It means if we are judgmentalism and we get gripped by our own judgmentalism, then we are blind to God. You see, when we study the Sermon on the Mount, like we've been doing, we have to understand the clear difference between reality and hypocrisy. We need to understand the clear difference between true religion and false religion, between good and evil. But what we are not to be, and this scripture ties up beautifully, what we are not to be is undiscriminating. We are not to be blind. We are not to ignore. We are not to sweep truth, wrong actions, behavior, abuse of scripture, immoral behavior, sin, a total disregard for Christian discipline. We are not to sweep that under the carpet and retreat, especially when we relate to this verse, verse 1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. So many people make their own mind up about this verse and apply it based on their opinion. But we have to grasp and understand the kind of context that surrounds it. You see, this particular verse, like many verses in the Bible, if we read it literally and apply it literally, then we won't really apply it in the way that Christ intended it. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. We need to look at the context that kind of surrounds it. Verse 6, we're going to come back to verse 6 later. Do not give to the dogs, which is sacred, or throw your pearls to the pigs. With that truth, we have to discern, we have to look deeper. Or we won't know who the pigs and dogs are. We will not know what the pearls are. So we have to think, to discern. Verse 15, watch out for false prophets, for they will come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. With regard to that truth that we need to adhere to and understand and apply, we have to look a little bit deeper. We have to discern. We have to evaluate. We have to discriminate. And we have to judge. Because if we don't do that in the right way, all we will see is the sheep's clothing. Pointless. You need to know the wolf under the clothing. Know the wolf. The wolf is everywhere. We have to be so aware of that. We have to be so aware of that. That is why there is an absolute need for discernment. If we don't judge in the right way, we will not know what or who to avoid. We will not know who to be aware of or what to protect ourselves or others from. You see, so much can come against God's word. So much. And we have to be aware of that. So this passage lets us know that we have to test. We have to discriminate, we have to judge, we have to evaluate between truth and error and good and evil. Hebrews 5:14 says, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. God's word. We have to try and understand God's word and apply it in our lives. We're not saying we need to know it inside out and back to front, but we have to try and grasp the fundamental basics, the truths of God's word, in order that we can attempt to live a life of obedience, in order that we can protect ourselves and others from what comes against us. So judge not does not mean that we are not to discriminate between truth and error, good and evil, and right and wrong. But the problem with this verse comes, do not judge or you too will be judged. When you hear people say, and they speak into your life, who are you to judge? You ever heard that? Who are you to judge? Who are you to judge? But to flip that, we have to understand what Christ is talking about on that hillside. What he's saying is, do not judge in a critical, judgmental, condemning, ignorant, self-righteous, unbiblical way. The world is full of that. The church is full of that. Beware. Beware of people like that. And also beware if that's something that started to get into your own life, how you live your life and how you present that to others. You see, it all comes down to the required standard of being a genuine born-again Christian. You see, on that hillside, Christ preaches a standard. It's not easy being a Christian. It's challenging. It's difficult, but there is a standard. And if we live our life just purely based on the human standard and we care not a jot about the standard that Christ preaches, then we're going to be open to so many issues within our life. And the sad part is, and we have to grasp this, many people judge wrongly and ignore the sin that another person is bound to. They do not care if that person is bound to a sin. There is no interest in restoring them. Those who are fallen, those in the flesh, what they do is, it's just part of their life that they criticize and judge others because of personality, because of someone's character, their weaknesses, how they speak, how they dress, and how they serve God. Too much misunderstanding what Christ is saying. Too many people think we have to just love everyone and everything and never ever judge, just retreat. We have to understand the right type of love that has to be administered. You see, that's not what God's saying. It indicates that we don't understand the commanded love to be administered to others. Agape love, we've spoke about it before. That's sacrificial love with no fulfillment or gain on a personal level. You see, if God is love and we claim to be a child of God, then we should be characterized by his love to manifest that commanded love in our life. Do you do that? Do I do that? And when we identify sin, it's the right love that has the desire to restore. The highest love that has a genuine desire to see that sinner set free. That's why we need to understand the difference. And there is a clear difference to be applied between judging in a biblical honoring way and judging in a critical, judgmental way. Leviticus 19:17, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. And if we sit back and watch a brother or sister in sin, that's not loving them. It's the absolute opposite of that. Let's just love everybody. La, la, la. Human love. Human love. Say nothing when we see sin. Tolerate it. Let's just sweep it under the carpet. The right kind of love. The right kind of love confronts sin to restore with truth and gentleness and compassion. You see, God's word never contradicts itself. It's full of commands and warnings and instructions for us to make judgments, for us to rebuke and correct in the right way according to Scripture. You see, Jesus evaluated. He judged, he exposed the Pharisees because he thought what they were doing was acceptable to God. Many of us today believe what we're doing is acceptable to God and it's not. But this goes a little bit deeper. It's more about this kind of self-righteousness that we live with, a kind of judgmental and critical spirit. So the main point in verse 1, do not judge or you too will be judged, means stop judging when we shouldn't. Of course, we need to judge and evaluate in the right way what comes against God's word. False teaching. People trying to manipulate others with their judgmental, critical spirit. Romans 16:17, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. You see, there has to be a calling out, if you like, when doctrine is abused. There has to be, when doctrine is abused, and that covers a lot. What Scripture says is, we have to kind of, it says avoid it, but there has to also be a kind of calling out, if you like. And that just isn't big time abuse of Scripture. Those that are coming against it in a big way. Many people will come against Scripture in a big way, come against what you stand for in a big way. But sadly today, it's creeping into the church in a very subtle way. Beware. Beware of that. Spoke in September of the hermeneutics of humility. That is growing at a rapid rate. That is professing born-again Christians. Professing born-again Christians who are taking a truth. They're taking a truth. What's the truth? Let me see. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believeth in him will not perish, but have eternal life. That is a truth. There is only one way you can go with that truth. You stand on it, you preach it with boldness and conviction. But what they're doing is, they're taking that truth, and they're basically administering it to somebody like in the way of such as, you know, that's what I believe, you may not believe that. You know, there's nothing wrong with that if you don't believe that. What they're doing is, they're exerting that truth, but what they're doing is they're stopping short of a definitive solution to that truth. We have to be aware of that. That is creeping in. Sure, these people that come against us, we've got to pray for them, love them as commanded, attempt to restore, see them set free from that sin that's got a grip in them. But there has to be distinctions and there has to be judgment. So this verse indicates that we need to judge in the right way, not just read it literally and retreat. We can't retreat when it comes to judging. But what does all that mean? What does it mean? We get that, Danny. We're not to judge in a condemning and critical way. We've got to watch out for those who come against God's word and use our discernment to judge in the appropriate way. But what does it mean? You see, God's word is very specific on the judgments we are not to do. We're not to judge someone's whole life, based on what they've once done something wrong. Too many people judging people based on what they've done wrong in the past. They don't let go of it. They have not got a clue if that person's repented and confessed. They don't have a clue if there's been a brother or sister who have restored that person, a spiritual person restoring them. They don't know, yet they just hold on to this one, two, three things that person's done wrong. Sure, if it's continual sin, that's a different kettle of fish. Do not judge in a hasty way. Proverbs 18:13, to answer before listening is folly and shame. God's word does not endorse making judgments when we don't have all the knowledge and all the facts. We can't fire right in there. We know knowledge and facts. And even worse than that, there are people who fire in the back of someone else. And they don't even know the hasty judgment that person that they're firing in the back of is making. Beware. Beware of people like that. We are not to make unmerciful judgments. Relentless in our pursuit. We just keep going and going and going. We critique. We critique. We critique. Not to do with God's word. Not based on how someone's living their life according to God's word. Just based on our standard. You see, the goal is always merciful restoration. Those with a judgmental, critical spirit tend not to care about that. We're not to make undeserving judgments. That's using human standards that we live by. Our opinions, our ways, our methods, our little quibbles. And if folk don't come up to that standard, the standard that we've created, then oh boy, they're going to get it. You see, too many people viewing people less spiritual and putting them in a kind of little created less spiritual box. Of course, there are people that are not spiritual. There are people who believe they're spiritual and they're not. There are people who are less spiritual, of course. But don't judge them wrongly on it. That's why they need the right help from those who are spiritual. And we're going to discuss that later. Not to pass influence or judgmental actions upon others. When we make that judgment in our head, based on our standard, based on our opinion, not based on God's word, then we can't wait to tell people about it. That's gossip and slander. Do not be dragged in to anyone's ungodly, deceitful, slanderous, critical web, which results in you too being drawn into wrong judgment, because when you're drawn into wrong judgment, you, me, will be judged on that. So what does all this mean? What does all this mean? We get it, we're not judging this way, you know, these kind of wrong ways that we can judge. What does it mean? It's serious stuff that Christ preaches on that hillside with regard to this passage. It means if we judge in that particular way, we have the wrong view of God. We have the wrong view of God. Do not judge or you will be judged. We are judged by God, and if we don't acknowledge that if we judge wrongly, you see, we can't try and become God. We can't try and be God because judgment belongs to God. So every time we wrongly, aggressively condemn others, every time we critique someone negatively, every time we judge someone wrongly based on our opinions, our feelings, not God's word, then we're playing God. And I'm not too sure we want to play God. You see, too many people place themselves, whether it's subtly or full on, as the main authority, the true authority. They believe that they can make the decision who makes the standard. That's playing God. We don't play God when we obey biblical judgment. Sadly today, too many people getting away with it, causing chaos in churches, ministry, witnessing, when they become the judge of their little kingdom. What they do is they judge other people's ministries, how they teach, how they preach, how they lead, how they live. They even, and you'll be stunned at this, man, they even judge people how they pastor. Can you believe that? They judge people how they pastor. They've never pastored themselves, but my goodness, they have their judgment based in their standards. You see, of course, if there is obvious sin, you judge according to biblical truth. You see, I believe strong leadership, like this leadership in this church, what we do is we meet, we evaluate, we discuss, we get the facts, we pray, we discern, we seek wisdom. And then collectively, based on God's word, what goes against God's word, we come to conclusion, and in two or three witnesses, we deal with it. Not a lone ranger setting himself up as the main authority. James 4:11-12, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? You see, we can't set ourselves up to be the law, God's law, the judge of the law. If we do that, we're not going to be doers of God's word. We have to be doers of God's word. And secondly, to judge in this way, this wrong way, it means that we believe we are more superior and spiritual than others, that we are beyond judgment. The Pharisees, who we've got a good understanding of, thought this. Verse 2, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I believe that is one of the most frightening verses in the whole of Scripture. That's my opinion. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You see, the core meaning and context of this does not mean what you do to others, you're going to get back. That's kind of tit for tat. That kind of happens. That's a kind of human thing. what I do to him, he's going to do to me. You see how others treat us, judge us wrongly, critique us. It's difficult. It's hard when that happens. But if we strive every day to pick up that cross and be faithful men and women of God, if we strive every day to press on towards that goal, if we strive every day to honor and glorify God, if we strive every day to not grow weary in doing good, then what comes against us shouldn't really affect our teaching, our preaching, our ministry, our witnessing. It should not really rob us of our joy and our peace. What God thinks of us is the most important thing, not the person who exercises that judgmental, critical spirit. You see, Paul says in Corinthians, he cares not a lot for those who judge him. How other judges negatively is out of our control most of the time, but it should not affect our calling. Too many people run for the hills when that attack comes, when that critique comes, when that judgmental spirit weighs heavy upon them from others. They run, they buckle, they hide, they retreat. That's not what we're called to do. And just because we have to be careful of this, it's a kind of two-edged sword. You see, there are many people, and I can understand this, who are affected by those who come against them with a judgmental and critical spirit in the wrong way, and it affects them. But we have to be very careful, because I know a lot of people who do not get affected by that at all. There are many people who do not get affected by that at all, and I actually think that's quite a good thing. However, we have to be aware that we do not develop an attitude that we are superior when things do not affect us. If criticism is justified, we should be open to it. Psalm 141, let a righteous man strike me. That is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. That is oil in my head. My head will not refuse it, for my prayers will still be against the deeds of the evildoers. Why do we need to be aware of this? Why shouldn't we just pay lip service to it? Because we have to focus on the fact that God is the judge. Too many times we focus on other people, what they're doing, what they're saying about us, how they're coming against us. We have to focus on the fact that God is a judge. And when we read on in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, God says there would be people who say, Lord, Lord, and do not enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, these are people who thought they were good with God. They were casting out demons and performing miracles, and it was all in your name, Lord. They thought they were good, but they heard the most horrific words that anybody will ever hear. I never knew you. For me, that's a benchmark. You see, people come against me. I know that. There are people who are judgmental and critical of me. Some I know, some I don't. But I try not to let it affect my calling, because I focus on the fact, based on that scripture, that God is the final judge, not those with a condemning, critical spirit. So this scripture tells us what judgment we pass on others, God will judge us with, and what measure you use will be measured back to you again. If people believe, and many do, if I believe, if you believe, that we are so superior that we can critique and judge, then it indicates that we know enough to be judged at that standard. That shows evidence that we have enough knowledge to be judged at that standard. James 3:1. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. And the same applies. So to judge wrongly gives evidence of knowledge. The more knowledge, the more judgment. We give evidence that we've lived up to all, and if we haven't lived up to all, then we will be judged in it all. You see, people like this tend to be quite ignorant with the fact that they believe that they're exempt from judgment. The Pharisees thought this and had the wrong view. And thirdly, if we judge in the wrong way, it means we have the wrong view of ourselves as a Christian. We're exercising the fact that we can judge whatever we want, because our prayer life, our Bible reading, our ministry, our relationship with Christ is so sorted, we can just sit back and critique everybody else. But the bottom line is, and here's where it gets really, really interesting, and here's what we have to acknowledge to avoid chaos. This is what we have to acknowledge to avoid chaos. The bottom line is, until we get our own life sorted, we have no usefulness in helping others, restoring them spiritually. Sure, we can cut their grass and bake them a cake, but don't try and restore them spiritually. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to a brother, let me take the speck out your eye, when there is a plank in your own? We have to visualize this. There's somebody with a bit of sawdust in their eye. Right? A lot of people will say that's just a little thing. I don't believe it is. I think that's a big, big thing that has to be addressed. I believe that's a big thing that has to be addressed. And there's somebody that's perhaps struggling, or something in their life which is not honoring to God. It's big. But imagine someone who wants to come and try and restore you and help you walks over to you with this big massive plank. It doesn't make sense. It's insane. You see, when we judge wrongly or try to corrupt others with our own wrong standard, that is evidence we are blind. Totally blind. Otherwise, we'd be working in the plank in our own eye. You see, when we do life like this, judge everything based in a non-Bible-based way, we're declaring, and it is a big thing to do, there is nothing wrong in our lives. We're effectively walking around with a plank. You see, sin that never sees anything wrong in its own life is self-righteousness. And if we're self-righteous, full of pride, remain judge and jury of our little kingdom, looking down on everybody else, basing everything on our standard that we've created, then we can't. We just can't do anything to help another in sin. Help to restore them in the flesh is out of the question. However, if we acknowledge God's word, desire to obey, repent, confess, grasp that righteousness is the key, if we acknowledge that judgment, powerful judgment, the only judgment comes from God and no one else, if we throw ourselves at the mercy of Christ, then we're doing something. It's showing evidence that we're trying to create purity in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We've heard it every week from this pulpit, the importance of the heart. God sees the heart. God sees the heart. And there's the Beatitudes echoed. It's fantastic. This is where the whole thing ties in. You see, until we humbly and meekly hunger and thirst for righteousness, acknowledge that we are sinful. Here's the bottom line. Those that are holy, those that are truly holy will not try and get the sawdust out of somebody's eye when there is a plank in their own. There's the benchmark. There's the benchmark. Somebody that is holy will not try and get the sawdust out of somebody's eye when there is a plank in their own eye. That indicates those who try to get the sawdust out of somebody's eye with a plank in their own eye is so far from what Christ is saying. You hypocrite, false, pretending to be what you're not. So if we unbiblically judge, we have the wrong view of God, we have the wrong view of others, and we have the wrong view of ourselves. But we have to be careful here. So careful. You could say, right, Danny, I get that, I understand that, I've got that, okay, I've got that plank in my eye, you know what I'm going to do, I'm going to get rid of that, I'm going to repent, I'm going to confess, that's cool. But what we can't do, we can't then just take that plank out of our eye, address the situation, and then retreat. We can't do that. We can't retreat. We've got to keep pressing on, keep moving, because if we retreat, say nothing, don't judge in the right way, then we won't confront and judge in the right way against those that come against God's word, those that come into the church and corrupt it. We've got to use discernment to discriminate and judge in the right way. If we don't do this in the right way, the church will be corrupted. I don't mean this church, I'm talking, this church is part of the church, but it will be corrupted. We won't deal with distinguishing truth from error, evil from good, and act upon it. You see, it has to be acted upon in the right way. But the great thing is in verse 5, the instructions to take the plank out of the eye. Do it first. Get it out. Essential. Get rid of the self-righteousness, the sin, the pride, that judgmental, critical spirit. How do we do this? We confess. We repent. There has to be an acknowledgement that the plank is there. There has to be an acknowledgement that the plank is there. What Christ is saying? He's saying, right, okay, look, you've got a problem. There's this kind of self-righteousness within you that's creating this kind of judgmental and critical spirit. It's not based in any biblical truth or any biblical way. It's just your standard that you've set. Take it out. God won't deal with us harshly regarding our self-righteousness if we deal with it, if we do something about it. If we bring our life to the judgment of God, ask God to cleanse, to purify, to remove it, and then, and only then, can we move on. Because at the point we take the plank out of our own eye, we see clearly, and then when we see clearly, we can remove the sawdust, the speck from our brother's eye, based on the right judgment, the right judgment. But we have to deal with ourselves first. We all fall short. We all sin. It's not easy. It's not easy preaching this. You see, we've heard the importance of the heart, the clean, pure heart. The heart is the core of our being. David and Psalm 51, create me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Then, he says later on, I will teach the transgressors your way. Only at that point where identification is taking place, because we can't effectively witness, restore, rebuke, judge correctly when our heart is not right. You have to be aware of that and be aware of others that come to you when you know quite clearly, their heart is not right. You see, when we get our own heart right, then the help that we give to others will be the right help. That's the key. Galatians 6:1, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. And then verse 6, do not give to the dogs which is sacred, or throw your pearls to the pigs. Man, you see, dogs in Jesus' day were kind of wild. You could preach in this whole verse for an hour. But this, dogs in Jesus' day were wild. They were scavenger. They were probably dirty, dangerous pigs. If you got a group of them, they could be vicious. And here's where the discernment comes. Here is where the discernment comes. Here's the fact that we can't just retreat. We can't just buckle. We can't just hide. Here is the fact that discernment, godly discernment, has to be administered. It all flows together. We have to be discerning with the Word of God. If we discern a fault, that's us identifying a fault. Then we presume we have that fault. That's a plank in the eye. We deal with it. We take it out. At that point, we see clearly. And then we see clearly then and only then we can relate to a sin or a fault of another. But here's where the real discernment comes with regard to this verse. Here's where the real discernment comes. Whether people respond well to help or speaking truth to them. If someone is not in a position willing to receive correction, help, or truth, they do not appreciate your merciful, unhypocritical judgment, then they can turn on you like wild dogs and tear you to pieces. Beware. Beware of people like that. If we are genuinely seeking the best for folk, as I trust we are, then do not worry when that attack comes, because God is the judge. By acting in a godly, biblical way with discernment and wisdom, many people we have to identify will not appreciate that. You need to discern the fact that people will not appreciate that all the time. It's like throwing pearls to pigs. If you threw pearls to pigs, and I'm speeding this up, if you threw pearls to pigs, they would not stop and look and admire them and go, wow. They would trample them in the ground with total disregard. So when people respond to godly help, as the praise band come back, when the people respond to godly help with truth and judgment, with anger and disregard, we have to discern to leave them alone. Sure, they're going to be worse for it. But it's their choice. They stand before God and answer their own actions. They do not stand before us. That's something to be mindful for. People do not stand before us. They stand before God. And it goes back to the Sermon on the Mount. This sermon that was spent months on, where Jesus is exercising his authority on righteousness and his kingdom. And the truth of his kingdom and righteousness is not to be used as a weapon. It's a gift. An amazing gift. And if folk are like dogs and pigs and won't receive the gift of truth, correction, and biblical judgment, if they see it as a threat, a way to attack, slander, mock, reject, gossip, devile someone's character, then we have to take the advice of Christ and not share corrective truth with them, because they will abuse it and trample it under feet. They will tear it to pieces. So the big question relating to this particular passage in Scripture, it's a tough one. At the heart of it is human relations. But the big question relating to this particular truth warning that Christ preaches is, are we living our life judging in a way to help, to restore, to honor and glorify God? Are we doing it to know the truth? Are we doing it to discern the truth and then act upon that, the things that come against us, in the right way? Or are we judging, like many people do, to be the judge and jury of their little kingdom and look down and condemn folk for not coming up to their standard, a standard which is created by them and miles away from God's standard? I trust that having spent a number of months in the Sermon on the Mount, we will understand wholly and fully what type of judgment Christ expects of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can come and open up your word this morning. Lord, help us daily. Help us daily to discern and seek wisdom, Lord. Help us daily to apply your truth in the right way. Help us to evaluate, Lord. Help us to judge in the right way, Lord. and not develop a critical, judgmental spirit, which is so far away from what you desire of us. So every day, Lord, help us to be reminded of this scripture that you've placed in our heart this morning, Lord. Help us to live by it. And in doing so, we truly know that we will honor and glorify you. This we ask in your almighty name. Amen. Be blessed, church.